Hello and welcome to episode 533 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I am your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by these waving monkeys. So monkeys, other two M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin, and you can find me on the internet at Hey Dude Meg at most places.
Joey? Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, waving monkeys. Not flying monkeys. Too lazy to fly, but waving frantically.
I had pasta. I wouldn't be able to fly today.
My daughter and I went out for Mexican tonight, and I am very full because the place that do you have Chewy's up north?
No.
Okay. That's like a Tex-Mex restaurant, and it's come up to North Carolina. I don't know how much farther north it is, but they have they have chips and salsa, of course, but they have a jalapeno ranch salsa that is ranch dressing with a little kick to it, and it's
that
you literally
good.
Fill up on the whole thing. Yeah. So next time you're in Texas or North Carolina, you should have Chewy's. It's very good.
This podcast is sponsored by Chewy's.
Hey, Chewy's, give us money.
Yeah, so in the lead up to Christmas, we have a lot to cover. And obviously, we've had some very traumatic news happen this weekend that I think we want to talk about. And of course, the other traumatic news, the shortlists came out today. What a segue. Mm-hmm. The Oscar shortlists came out today in all new in a lot of categories, two new categories, casting and a new shortlist for the cinematography category, which they have not previously had. So we're going to talk about all of those things. Plus, we saw a brand new trailer today for at least, I think, what is my most anticipated film of 2026, which is Disclosure Day, directed by Steven Spielberg, featuring a score by John Williams. Not going to say if it's his last score, but
God.
Speaking of da-da-da-da-da, neither one of you have watched the finale to It, Welcome to Derry, right?
No.
Not yet.
I can't remember a season finale that hit every note perfectly. It is so good. It is that single hour of television is better than all 16 hours of the It movie, the two It movies or however long they are. First one is good.
I need to jump back in because I did appreciate some of it. Like it's gory.
It's a tough watch. It's very gory. But the ending was just no notes at all. And I didn't expect, I was sitting there watching it. I was trying to cram it all in. I watched three episodes over the weekend and I was watching the finale and I was watching with my laptop sitting on my lap and my wife's sitting next to me watching something else. And every now and again, she'll look over to see what I'm watching. I just started sobbing because there's some events that happen that are very, very sad. And I just could not stop crying. And then she'd look at me like,
gosh.
You're watching It, right? And I'm just like, yeah.
It's like, it's,
and then I start laughing.
The clown still killing people? Or
this clown, and I think it has part of it has to do with a spoiler, a massive spoiler about the entire season, but this Pennywise is incredibly violent. It is
like
a very, very, very... Oh no. There's a meme that's going around where it's got like a little golden retriever and then a big rabid wolf sitting next to it, and it's like Pennywise from the movies, Pennywise from It, Welcome to Derry.
Oh god.
Oh wow.
Really very gory, very often. But Madeline Stowe is in it.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's in it. It's good. It's good. The whole season isn't perfect, but I love the finale. So anyway, long way of saying you guys should proceed through the series. I think it's worth watching.
Can we talk about the Disclosure Day trailer?
Absolutely. Quickly? Let's start with that.
It's a day where we all sit and watch Barry Levinson's Disclosure.
I'm okay with that.
Collectively as a society.
That movie.
I've never even heard of something like that. A woman harassing a man.
I like that the take with Emily Blunt. First of all, welcome back, Emily Blunt. Welcome back. You're doing stuff that is good again.
I'm sorry.
Still not watching The Smashing Machine.
She was Golden Globe nominated for The Smashing Machine.
Good for her.
Okay. Anyway, the scene of her being like, "Hi, Kansas City," and as an anchor, and then going into that, it made me think of. Do you remember like a few years ago? I think it was after the Oscars. Maybe it was like 7 or 8 years ago, where the woman on TV is an anchor, and she starts talking, and she's just speaking gibberish, and it's not making sense. And like people were like worried about her, and like, and she ended up like having some sort of like a brain malfunction or something. But it made me think of that. I thought, oh wow, there's that pop culture moment that they're taking that and making it like, oh, what if it's an alien? I thought that was really. I mean, I have no idea what else is going on in this trailer. I thought the trailer was really exciting. And the animals, the birds, I was really I'm very psyched for it.
I have not been online since it came out. Have people started talking about as the trailer closes, there's a little girl who is now walking next to the animals of the forest. She's walking next to the stag. Have they been talking about like that being cheesy? It's
No, I
I'm
haven't seen that at least.
I was wondering if people would react negatively to that because it's a choice, right? I mean, people are the way that it starts, it's almost like a little bit of War of the Worlds, a little bit of maybe not Minority Report, but in that more serious Spielberg early 2000s phase. And then all of a sudden there's a child becoming friends with the animals of the forest. So it does exactly what a trailer does. It's just that people have been conditioned to hate things like that, to hate Ernest
Oh,
and
yeah. They're
and so I'm
conditioned to
just
hate
wondering.
everything. They can't win. Nobody can win. I do not envy filmmakers today, like Spielberg, and because anything they do, it's going to be scrutinized, and or even filmmakers who are not Spielberg. It's just everything is scrutinized, and it's awful. Sorry, my dog is. Do you want to sit up? Keep going? He might sit with me for a second.
But it's a
Yeah,
great
I don't.
trailer.
Yeah, I was so. I couldn't be able to. I couldn't pinpoint specific things, but like, I kept thinking that, in a way, like visually, it feels like a little bit more, dangerous than a normal Spielberg movie, or like it feels like our brains are conditioned to pick up on like, Spielbergian type cinema, like with the lighting and I'm sure the score will be amazing, and how he kind of like constructs shots are really cool. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves for like constructing how action is in a lot of his movies. So I'm super excited. I thought it looked great.
I did too.
I'm seated. I do also want to
Oh,
watch you I'll watch a movie of you watching Disclosure and call it Disclosure Day. Like, I do want that whole. I want that for us. I want that for the world.
I just recently, it was within the past year, probably in my the Substance phase, I rewatched Disclosure and Indecent Proposal. But
I watched Disclosure whenever they did that episode of Loudmouth or no, what it was,
Big Mouth.
Big
Oh
Mouth.
my God, I forgot they did that.
Yeah, that's why
That's
I listened to
amazing.
a podcast about it and I'm like, I have to see this. Like, and that's why I watched it. But I don't
Very
remember
good.
much about it and it being backwards in the 1990s and weird.
So, oh my God. And then of course, my favorite thing about it is the supposedly years ahead of its time software that they're developing at this company. And it's like It's just like Tron level, avatars walking through a room and opening filing cabinets, and and the emails that they get are like, letters flying up on the screen and opening up magically. Come on. But it's all right. That was 1994. So was it 94? Somewhere,
I
I don't know.
think 94
I
and
think so.
93.
That was 2 years after her should have been nominated performance in A Few Good Men, which was directed by Rob Reiner, which is a excellent segue. I
Effortless
get
segue.
segue champion of the
Effortless.
week.
Yeah,
So thank you. Thank you. So obviously, as we are recording, we're finding more and more about the unsad and untimely death of director Rob Reiner. There's a lot of information that's out there. I don't particularly want to talk about his relationship with his son and what happened with his son and what his son did or didn't do. I would just love to celebrate him as a director, as a very underrated director, somebody who, I mean, his first movie was Spinal Tap. And then, The Sure Thing is a cult favorite. And then for the next 10 movies, 9 movies, something like that, up until Few Good Men, just massive hits one after the other. I don't think it's you can't even look at like somebody like Scorsese and say he had something, a streak that prolific.
he
What's your
also covered
favorite?
so many genres.
Yes.
Like, that's what I think is most impressive is that, like, he, I mean, before we get into our favorites, but like Misery, one of the best horror movies. And the fact that he was only nominated for an Academy Award once, and it was for A Few Good Men, which I think is kind of wild. But like Misery, I think When Harry Met Sally should have been like, I want there to be an Oscar for movies that should have been nominated for Academy Awards that weren't, and like performances and like, because I think that When Harry Met Sally is one that should have been an Oscar winner and should have been nominated for everything. Sorry, my dog is driving me crazy. I am just impressed with all of his just how many different genres he covered. Keep going. Sorry, my dog is driving me crazy.
No, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The fact that he didn't even get nominated for directing A Few Good Men, is, he was nominated for Best Picture, as a producer of the film, but it's, he made The American President, also a great film. I agree with you on When Harry Met Sally. Every year, my wife and I watch When Harry Met Sally around New Year's because that's the climax of the film. And I look at these performances, particularly Meg Ryan's performance, and I think, God, if they had released that today, she would have an Oscar.
I 100% agree with that because I hate when people say that that scene where she's crying is such a weak scene because I think it's comedically perfect and it's this blend of realism and like but comedy, and she does it so well and I don't think she gets enough credit for that. But I 100% believe like if that were released today, we'd be talking about Oscars and Meg Ryan would have an Oscar. And I would love that for
100%.
her.
And I mean, this was the screenplay even nominated?
Yes, the screenplay was
Yeah.
nominated.
Okay.
Yes.
But
I think that was its only
that was the only
nomination.
nomination.
Okay. It should have won. But getting back to Rob Reiner, one of the things that I think he is most underrated for is his ability to direct actors. He doesn't have incredibly flashy filmmaking, but he understands actors or understood actors.
I think that too. Even I posted last night on my Instagram the ending of The Sure Thing, like the last big speech that kind of ties everything together. And he does have a way of ending films he does work with the actors to get those performances out of them. Like even I think The Sure Thing is one of my favorites, but I was thinking about how he really does get these amazing performances, and all, but also like does things with the camera, and gets good reactions, that I think are great. I don't know. I just really like, I get what you're saying, but I also think he's very underrated with what he does with the camera too.
So, what are your favorites of his?
Obviously, When Harry Met Sally, The Sure Thing. I was never a Princess Bride fan, but I respect it. But probably those two. I'm looking through his list. Stand By Me, of course, is great, but probably The Sure Thing and When Harry Met Sally.
Joy, what about you?
So one of my favorites is a really random movie from 99 that I loved because I'm love Michelle Pfeiffer, and that's The Story of Us, which has a lot of clear When Harry Met Sally influence, like there you just in terms of the structure, there are people sitting on a couch talking to the camera, stuff like that. Oddly, that was one of my intros to him when I was like 15. And then I remember seeing When Harry Met Sally after I saw that movie. What he was able to do with actors is like a really perfect example of how a good director is not just how they move the camera and how they, edit it together if they are, working with the editor very closely. Like there's, like I really kind of roll my eyes a little bit when you hear people be like, well, that's a director's movie. And it's just like, okay. I think that his direction in terms of working with actors is really evident in how he can really make the audience connect with the characters too. Like there's something, I don't want to say like relatable, but I mean there's something about like the reason why we love his movies is because we love the characters. And there's something about how I think a good director can make an audience almost like see themselves in a lot of the characters on screen. Like it's not just like a good, I kind of want to like dispel the kind of notion that like there's only like quote unquote one type of a good director. Like the way that even thinking about like, best director this year was Sean Baker for Anora. And it was just like, oh, that's like a direct, that was a director's film. And, I don't know. It's the way that he was able to have, no matter the genre, able for the audience to understand the empathy of the characters. In a way, whether it's Misery or Stand By Me or The Story of Us or oh, I don't know. He did so, like I was telling, I think Megan or someone else earlier that I was just like, there are movies that I completely forgot that he did. Like even stuff that he did in the last like 20 years, like The Bucket List. Like, I'm sorry, that movie was
I
a
forgot he
huge,
did that too.
that movie was a big ass hit. And like I'm on his Wikipedia page like right now, like I didn't really like Rumor Has It, but like it's something like that is a movie that I feel like only Rob Reiner could direct, a movie about a cultural zeitgeist thing in a a movie The Graduate that came out of the 1970s when he was an actor and whatever. Like I forgot he did Ghosts of Mississippi and The American President and even something that I admit that I don't even like, but I like, remember Alex and Emma? That movie,
You and I went to see that in the
yeah,
theater.
we did. Oh, someone owes me $9. And it's just like, just going, he did that, I don't know, he did that Diane Keaton movie that came out a couple years ago that no one saw, I think, but me.
So it
Yes.
goes.
I don't know. It's kind of like seeing his filmography, like outside of looking at his IMDb, and you're like, oh, it's a Rob Reiner movie. And you're like, oh, of course. Like, it's weird that you kind of say that about so many different films. And it's just that I really can't believe that someone like that who can interpret text and can't, sounds so snooty, but it's just like who can interpret text and deliver these like emotionally intelligent entertaining as fuck movies over and over and over and over again. There's no one like him. It's baffling. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my favorite films of his do come within that corridor of the mid-80s to early 90s. You know, as a white straight male who grew up watching Stand By Me, you know, it's amazing that those characters are so relatable. And I know not everybody can relate to those, right? But, you know, that group is so relatable. His ability to direct children and give that and elicit those kind of performances from children are, you know, not just anybody could do that. When Harry Met Sally, I mean, I think it's beautifully directed.
I do
I
too.
would have nominated him for
Yeah.
director that year because you think romantic comedy, but it is, as you can see for the last 15 years, it's so hard to make a really great romantic comedy. And he balances the perspectives, he balances the tone. It is sweet, it is sour, it is funny. And you know, it's just beautifully made. It is of its kind. It is one of the greatest romantic comedies to ever be made, I think. And then A Few Good Men,
Yeah.
what he really should have been nominated for Best Director, A Few Good Men, you know, opening up a
He was
stage.
nominated.
What's that?
He was nominated for A Few Good Men.
Not for director.
Yeah, I thought he was for director.
No, he was nominated as producer of the film.
Oh, okay. I thought he was. Oh, that's crazy. Was he never nominated for Best Director ever?
Never.
Oh
Never.
my God, that is terrible. Oh, you're right. Oh my God, that is awful. That is awful.
And you know, we haven't talked about how
Continue.
great he was on All in the Family, winning two Emmys for that. He was nominated
He's
for
a
Best
scene
Director.
stealer. He steals scenes in every film he's in. Like I posted like the Sleepless in Seattle clip. The tiramisu. I always remember him. Like
My
he shows
God.
up and you remember him. He is such a scene stealer. Was such a scene stealer. Oh God, I can't believe I'm saying that. Yeah, he was just an ultra talented guy.
We always make
I
fun of
don't
the. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, sorry, I was gonna say I will take every chance I can to bring up 1999's The Muse. He was Rob Reiner in The Muse.
I've never seen that one.
Oh my God, it's so interesting.
Isn't that
It's just saying
what?
that because it's Sharon Stone.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Yeah,
it's
the
Sharon
reason why
Stone.
I went to go see it, you know, a 15-year-old, like, let's go see The Muse for Sharon Stone.
He was
Paris has
nominated
no
for
idea.
that.
Before this before you came out?
It's because I liked it in Basic Instinct when she opened up her legs and I wanted to see it
Yeah, man.
again.
Let's see what she does in this one, bro.
Yeah. Got the clip.
Oh,
He was nominated for four Golden Globes for Best Director. So Stand By Me, When Harry Met Sally, Few Good Men, and The American President.
the fact that the Golden Globes. Okay, last week we joked about like that's so Globesy in terms of like stuff to kind of make fun of, but sometimes the Globes did stuff that was really great, and like a director nomination for that movie, that's a great
That is, yeah.
nomination. It really is.
I agree. That's so Globesy positive. Yes. Yes.
Complimentary. Yeah. I mean, When Harry Met Sally is only nominated for screenplay and it lost to Dead Poets Society, but like what a stacked category that year. I mean, Nora Ephron, of course, When Harry Met Sally, Dead Poets Society by Tom Schulman, Crimes and Misdemeanors by Mr. Allen, Do the Right Thing, Spike Lee, and Sex, Lies, and Videotape by Steven Soderbergh. I
That's
mean,
amazing.
that's an amazing category. Holy
That's
shit. Yeah.
any film there would have could have won, and I would be totally happy with it. How
Yeah.
many times can you say that?
Never.
Right. All right, anything else on Rob Reiner?
No.
I'm gonna
He will
miss
be
him so much.
missed.
I want to
Yeah,
every.
me
See
too.
how many times in the last like 2 days I was like, I really want to watch When Harry Met Sally. I want to like literally turn my phone off and just like sit in the dark and watch that movie. God, that's a fucking great movie.
Yes. Or
Maybe I'll
when
do that too.
when Valentine's Day rolls around and my wife and I sit down and watch Sleepless in Seattle and he you know, a very small but memorable supporting role in that one, I'm gonna be like, oh,
Yes.
that hurts.
Yeah.
I heard recent, I don't know how recent this was, but I saw, sorry, I know we're wrapping it up, but the when he didn't know that people timed starting When Harry Met Sally at like a certain time. So when you start it,
Oh
the
yeah.
New Year's Eve scene, like I thought I saw something where he didn't know that people did that, and he someone told him and he was like, that's the loveliest thing like anybody could ask for. And just like, so it's like kind of cute that he doesn't know that people do that because he just seems like somebody who's so like, I don't know. Ugh, what a horrible
Yeah.
loss.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Retroactive Oscars all around.
Yes.
Yes.
I can
All
think of like
right.
eight off the top of my head.
Yeah, exactly. Joey, why don't you take us through the short lists?
Oh, shall I? Great. Okay. So if anybody hasn't seen the short list, they can go to thecontending.com. So the Academy announced 12 categories. Where they whittle them down to either 10, 15, or if in the case of score, 20. So the categories are animated short film, casting, cinematography, doc feature, doc short, international feature film. I know Frank was buzzing all day today. Live action short, makeup and hairstyling, score, original song, sound, and VFX. Sinners and Wicked for Good got eight mentions across. One Battle After Another got, I think, six, and I don't have the other numbers off the top of my head, but so I think in terms of, sorry, just looking it up. If we're talking about shortlists in general, okay, so it's Sinners, Wicked for Good, eight. Frankenstein 6, F1, One Battle After Another, and Sarat got 5. Avatar, Marty Supreme, and Train Dreams got 4. Hamnet, Sentimental Value, and Tron, a movie that I still don't think anybody has seen, got 3.
Oh, I saw it.
Sorry. Oh, you did? Oh,
I
okay.
did.
Well, one. We got one.
Was not good, too, because it took my son. It was not good. How did
Was the
Surratt?
soundtrack to Nine Inch Nails good though?
Surratt?
It was good. And I
Okay,
was
good.
predicting it for score for a cup for a while, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I have to go back and look and see where I landed with it. How did Surratt get six? That's crazy. Is
Well, the score I think is from beginning to end. The music doesn't stop. I haven't seen it yet. So
Oh.
Sarat got casting, cinematography, international feature, it's Spain's international feature submission, and score and sound. So I guess score and sound a lot of times go hand in hand sometimes, or movies about that have a ton of music have it in there. I haven't seen it yet. I'm dying to see it now, even more so than before. I think the newest category, casting, I still don't think we're gonna know anything about that for like another 5 years. Some really cool stuff that I think is, I feel really bad that J. Kelly missed casting. So I'm wondering if that knocks it out of Best Picture. And Train Dreams did pretty decent, so I'm wondering if that's the train to jump on. In terms of just like cool stuff that I really liked, The Ugly Stepsister and Makeup and Hair, Kokuho was, which is the Japanese submission, also got into makeup and hairstyling. Diane Warren, Relentless. I'm not saying this is cool, I'm just noticing it. Got two mentions. Truth and Treason, that like Angel Studios thing about World War II and the Holocaust, got a score mention. Okay, good for you. I have to say though that something that made me a little satisfied is that today a lot of people, I understand people don't like Wicked, but now my mission is not, last year was a mission of like I really loved Wicked and I wanted people to like Wicked. Now for Wicked for Good this year, I'm sort of just a little vengeful about it, where it's just that I think the guilds and the craftspeople, they will recognize good work. Doesn't matter what the consensus of the movie is. Hello, makeup nomination, Norbit. So, but it's like, while Film Twitter is like sucker punching that movie left and right, and that's their right. They don't like it. Good for you. Like, the crafts of it are really good. And this is not even counting stuff that, like, costumes, production design, whatever. So I knew that Wicked was going to do well today. And some people, I noticed that some people in their predictions for the shortlist, they were underestimating it just because they don't like the movie. And I gotta say, your bias is showing, everybody. And it's just like it's a little bit of snobbery to me. You can, this is something that I say all the time. You can appreciate something or recognize that something is really good in a movie that you hate, and vice versa. You don't have to be a fucking cunt about every single aspect of a movie. Someone please stop me from talking. I
So I will do that.
Yeah, please.
So if you look at based on, because you kind of already mentioned about J. Kelly, maybe J. Kelly is falling out of the top 10. I think you and I kind of spitballed about that earlier today.
Yeah.
What is on the upswing based on these lists? Like
I think
Wicked.
Train Dreams swing.
Yeah.
Wicked
Yeah.
for good.
Yeah.
Train
Um,
Dreams.
yeah.
I think The Secret
um,
Agent too.
yes.
Because
Yeah.
the thing that indicates that to me is the casting thing. Now, I'm going off of just specifically casting in terms of how it relates to the Emmys, because that's one of the biggest barometers that we have. I think the cast of The Secret Agent is really well populated with different little parts. So I think that could be another thing that's on the up. Also, the Electric State. I'm
Oh,
kidding.
is that that
Also,
Netflix
what?
thing?
That's the one with
Millie Bobby Brown.
Millie Bobby Brown and Chris Pratt.
Oh, I actually wanted to see that.
Oh God, Megan.
Sorry. I think Weapons showing up in casting was a
That's
good
great.
for Weapons and good for Amy Madigan.
I'm really surprised it missed makeup.
That's
I
the
was
one
too.
thing I'm like worried about with that. But yeah, I don't know. That was an interesting little nugget there.
I'm annoyed
I've I
with
will
the,
Oh, go
oh,
ahead.
sorry. I was going to say I
No,
was
go ahead. You can.
annoyed. I'm annoyed with the Electric State for getting in for visual effects, because Fantastic Four First Steps did not get in for visual effects. And the
I
visual
know,
effects
that
in that film
sucks.
are the best that they have, Marvel new studios have had in years.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand that.
I was really excited to see Irax, the President's Cake get in for international film, because I really love that one, and I know that it's like a sweet little film, and yeah, I was really excited to see that one. And Ondi Timoner's All the Walls Came Down in for Doc. Did you see that one, Joey?
No, not yet.
Okay, I really want to see that one too.
She was in Telluride, right?
Yes, she's the one I went up to and talked to, and she recognized me by my hair.
I need to reach out to her and be like, give me a screen.
Bet you
I know.
would.
We
I just
have
assume you've seen all of these.
We have three foreign films in casting. What do we make of It Was Just an Accident not being included in casting?
Well, I
Which
think it.
casting? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying, I think that gives the edge to the secret agent, I guess. And sentimental value in that category, and Surratt in that category. But go ahead, Joey.
I just wish that I wish the casting shortlist was longer. I wish it was 15.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Scream, One Battle, Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinner, Surratt, Weapons. I forget that Weapons one would be so awesome if it got get in. I just want the new category to not be populated by only Best Picture things. I think that would be
Right.
really cool.
Yes.
I don't know.
100%.
That would be incredibly exciting if Weapons got in.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, I don't think Wicked for Good belongs in this category.
Why?
And it's not the fault of the casting director, which is why I'm glad that they're not necessarily holding that against her, but Michelle Yeoh does not belong in that film. And I think it's the only reason she's there is because John M. Chu wanted to work with her. But she's not fit
The
for the role.
thing,
She's not right for that role.
I am. See, this is what is so interesting to me about that category. So, the person who cast that movie is Bernie Telsey, who he did. He's like a renowned, like Broadway casting director. He cast, I mean, the story there is probably he cast the original Wicked on Broadway and now he casts the movie. I just don't, the thing about casting that I'm gonna find as it continues to go on is like I don't think you can really pin down this category in terms of how a casting director works. In a way, it depends on, this is something that I learned when I interviewed Nina Gold and Doug Abel for J. Kelly, the non-shortlisted film, where I asked her what is something that you wish people knew about casting, and she said every single project is completely different. It depends on the cast, the budget, the amount of time you have, the country that you're in, this, that, and the other. So I don't know how people are going to do this. So I don't know.
Well,
Sorry.
she got her recognition for Hamnet. So,
Yeah. I think
and
Hammett will definitely get in.
I would think so.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I'm so anxious to see the final nominations come out. And to your point, Joey, hoping it's not just Best Picture contenders, because I want people who are looking at this casting category to divorce themselves from the SAG Ensemble category. It is not the same thing. It is an entirely different methodology behind it. This
Yeah.
is about the process of putting people in those roles. It is not how they perform in those roles. It is two
Yeah.
very different things.
Yes.
So.
I wanted something, the movie that I keep saying that I wanted to, and we may see this down the line, is like a movie that I would have loved to have seen get in here was Superman, because there are all these, like, you know, no, because there are these movies where you hear about, like, the casting is down to three people for each role.
Yeah.
These are the three people for this. This is the three people for that. And then I think, whether it be like they did that with Hannibal, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, all these movies, I just think that's another really cool. I don't know. That's one of the only times we ever see like the public getting like really interested in who is cast in something. So I don't know.
I like that, Joey. I like that. You're using your noggin on this. Yeah.
Well, they did. I mean, again, they did a great job of casting what I think was great chemistry between Rachel Brosnahan and him. Whose name?
David
Oh,
Cornsweet.
David Cornsweet. Yeah.
you want me to get him? He's making me dinner right now in the
Oh,
kitchen. My
is he
husband.
running from the pool in his black Speedo shorts, or not Speedo, but trunks?
He's just floating around my kitchen, just like with the dog. The dog is causing a ruckus. So
Constantly wet.
every time I think of David Cornsweet's last name, I think of the line in Heathers with corn, what was it? Corn nuts or whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I always
when Heather falls
think
into the table. Yeah.
Wow.
did she say corn nuts?
Yeah.
Corn nuts. That's what I think of.
All right. Anything else about the shortlists?
No.
No.
All right. Let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And it's been a while since I've gone first, so I will be doing that. And film-wise, I'll be watching Christmas movies. This is the time of year we're heading into getting real now. Sorry, Joey, I haven't. I've seen some things more than I want to see. Like, I will not watch Elf again this year. I will not watch Home Alone again this year. Watching Home Alone and Home Alone Lost in New York back to back is a mistake, because you
Oof.
really realize how similar those two movies are.
Yeah.
And
Wow.
how awful Brenda Black, not a bad performance, but just the character of the pigeon lady is so woefully underwritten. And then I always feel terrible at the end when he's like, "Here, take my half of this ornament to hang on a tree that you do not have." And I'm just going to go
Yeah.
run off, and you're homeless.
That Ever since that SNL sketch came out with
Yes.
Kristen Wiig as the pigeon lady, I have to watch that every time I watch Home Alone now.
I
Have
need
to.
to rewatch that. That showed up on my
Stronger.
YouTube recommendation, because I'm constantly watching Kristen Wiig videos. TV, Stranger Things season 5. My son's coming home from college, so we are going to finish the first 4 episodes of Stranger Things. And then Christmas TV, holiday baking, gotta watch that. I gotta tell you, Joey, no, that I didn't watch last night's.
Oh my God, it's
You know
good.
the meme. You both know the meme where it's Mr. Incredible, and it's like those who don't know and those who know, and it's Mr. Incredible in color, and then Mr. Incredible in black and white, looking terrified or whatever. That is how I feel about now. Every time I see that baker with all those rings on his arm, I'm like, Joey, you've ruined it. You've ruined it in a very strong
All I
way.
will say, Megan, I will tell you about this offline. Some
I
gay
said.
people who listen will understand when I say a man who has a ring tattooed on his arm, ellipsis. But I will tell you
But
when we're
there
done
are
recording.
three. Like,
Yep.
does that mean that there's been
I don't know.
practice?
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, so holiday baking, just ruined forever for me, Joey. Thank you. Joey
My
ruined
favorite thing
Christmas.
about that guy is that Jason was watching the new episode with me, and his last name is Mouse, MAUS, and his first name is Chase. So his name is literally
Chase
Chase
Mouse.
Mouse. Chase Mouse.
That's a great
That's a
name.
great name, and he's so
That's a
tall
great
and
name.
so hot and so gay. If he doesn't win, I'm gonna be really mad. And no one I ever want to win ever wins Holiday Baking Championship. So
I don't want Evil Gay to win. I don't remember his
no,
name, but I don't like him.
Charles.
Charles, that's right, Charles. I call him another name, but I will say that off of the podcast.
Faggot.
And then no, we don't drop the
Clarence
F-bomb,
is an
Joey.
ally. He would never say that.
I would never say
Jesus.
that.
Except to me when I do something wrong. Faggot.
Book. Megan's gonna roll her eyes, so get ready to roll your eyes, Megan. I am
Okay.
reading a book that is, I'm gonna start with who wrote it. It is written by Kevin Evers, a senior editor at Harvard Business Review. And it is about, it's called There's Nothing Like This, The Strategic Genius of Taylor Swift. It is about the marketing prowess and the career of Taylor Swift and how she's used business, not, not purposefully used because she was 15 when 16, but used business strategies, legitimate business strategies to elevate herself. And it's about her, the machine behind her. And it's a very fascinating book.
That sounds interesting. My eyes are down.
Okay, thank you. So anyway, and Saturday Night Live. I'm looking forward to Saturday Night Live because it will be hosted by Ariana Grande. She's got the Christmas episode.
Oh, that
With
should be
musical
fun.
guest Cher.
I know it's the
Oh,
gayest.
yes. Oh, my
The
God. Oh.
gayest day of the year.
Yes.
All right. Megan, what about you?
I'm looking forward to watching Heated Rivalry, continuing that. I am watching the 12 Dates of Christmas on Hallmark. That is what my little treat to myself is after I watch sad movies like It Was Just an Accident. That's with Mae Whitman, and Joey and I were just talking about how we want to start a podcast that's just talking about underrated actors and actresses, and Mae Whitman would be at the top of the list because we love her. And she's delightful at the show. And I also need to see more. I need to see No Other Choice. That's kind of on my agenda this week. I'm still reading that Alyssa Sussman book that is funny you should ask. And that is probably about it, I think. I think that's mostly
Child
yeah.
time.
Ooh,
Joseph,
yes.
rushing out to theater to see Avatar again.
Oh, I'm gonna come down. I'm gonna get on a plane with my fear of flying, come down to North Carolina, find you, whenever you live. I have your address. That's whatever.
I'd be like, I need directions. I'm coming to pick you up.
I'm
Can you
coming to slap you in the face, and you're like, I live at 227. And then I will
Love to
slap
live at
you.
227.
I know, right? I
Yeah.
would,
Jack K.
yeah, Jacquet.
Yes.
I would slap you, get through my fear of getting back on a plane in a matter of 20 minutes and come
And you would
home.
still have 10 minutes to spare before your rewatch. You could do all of that in less time than it would take you to rewatch Avatar Fire and Ash.
That's true. That's true.
You know, when, like, I think the embargo for Avatar lifted like today or last night or whatever, and all these people were just like, well, I think it's over. And I was like, yeah, I've been sitting here for like 10 years being like, it's not that great. Blue people. I am going through, I'm being very focused. I told Megan today offline that I had to put my foot down with my husband's Christmas watching, where I told him the last movie that I saw that was new for me was Avatar. On December 1st, I haven't watched anything else because my time has been occupied with Christmas movies. That's not true. I watched that Michelle Pfeiffer Prime movie, Oh, What Fun. And
Still a
oh, it was
Christmas
not
movie.
fun. It is technically, yes, it is, but is that's an Emmy thing, not an Oscars thing, obviously. Not a great movie. Kind of depressing. Felicity Jones, what is your accent? I am watching All Her Fault. I put on TikTok a video of, because I saw this screener for the first episode a while ago. And then if you mute Sarah Snook running through her house looking for her son and think that she's just like a real estate agent who's bad at her job and you don't know what she's saying, it looks like she's, I'll send you a video, Clarence, because I took a video of me reacting to it with it on mute. That's really funny. I'm watching that. I'm trying to get through as many screeners as I can, catching up with a lot of movies. I really want to see Zootopia. I'm trying to get through as many shorts now because the shorts dropped too. And something else I was watching. Oh, I'm going through Stranger Things season 4 because I never watched it. And I want to be able to see how far I can get before the next part of it drops. For the final season. And also I'm rereading, I'm sorry, this is the last thing. I'm rereading Augustine Burroughs's You Better Not Cry, which is a collection of short stories that are all incredibly inappropriate and have a lot of dark humor around the Christmas holiday. So.
That sounds incredible. I'm looking for your TikTok, by the way. You put this on TikTok?
I think so.
Okay.
I also just sent it to you.
Okay,
All
I'll find
right.
it. Okay.
So does that cover it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the three M's, contending contributors and co-founders, Clarence Moy, Joey Moser, and Megan McLaughlin. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Click like and subscribe, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.